What does it take to do more than just talk about AI, but to scale it across an entire utility enterprise? We're about to find out. I'm Kinsey Grant Baker, and this is Power Perspectives. Utilities everywhere are talking about artificial intelligence, the power it needs, the workforce impacts, the process upgrades, the efficiency unlocks. If Merriam-Webster did a word of the year for the power industry, AI would no doubt take the cake. But what does it mean to take AI from abstract idea to scaled business driver, from experimentation to real-world use cases? That's what we're unpacking today. How Southern Company worked with CGI to build the platform, governance, and culture that makes AI a true game changer. This is the story of how innovation starts small and then pops across an organization. And we're getting it courtesy of the folks who made it happen with the support of our partners at CGI who made this episode possible. Stick around to hear even more about the insights-driven, outcomes-based work CGI is doing. Now, I am thrilled to welcome our guests today. We have a great conversation lined up with two real experts, Doug Leal, VP of Consulting in the Data and Analytics Department at CGI, and Joyce Solomon, AMI Analytics and Data Science Manager at Southern Company. Doug, Joyce, welcome to Power Perspectives. How are you today?
Doing great.
I'm good.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for being here. As I mentioned, I'm excited to dig into this conversation. I love having conversations on the show that do as much as we can to take some of these sort of theoretical ideas and talk about how utilities are using them in practice. So we've got a lot to unpack. Before we dig in, it would be helpful if each of you could just introduce yourselves. You know, tell me a little bit more about the roles that you play at your organizations, maybe explain a little bit more about how you know each other and work with each other.
Sure, I can go first. I'm Doug Leal. As you mentioned, I'm a VP on data and AI here at CGI. I help our clients on data analytics and AI, you know, solutions, either providing oversight on the delivery side or on the strategy side. I've been doing working with data, right, for about 20, 25 years, starting writing SQL and worked with machine learning models before, you know, before the hype, if you will, right, when was not so famous, for lack of a better term, as it is now. But kind of transition, right, to more of a, you know, from data platform to building this analytic solutions, right, that provides scalability, right, so the business, the users can leverage that to drive value, right, to deliver value.
Yes, Joyce Solomon, the analytics and data science manager in the advanced metering infrastructure space in Southern Company. Today, I have the privilege of handling meter data across all our electric operating companies. So that's about 4.4 million meters. Think about the wealth of data that we get and, you know, building insights out of that. That's just day in, day out excitement for me in this role.
Yeah, it sounds like a really great role. And I would love to hear more, too, about how you guys work together. You know, tell me just at the sort of highest level how CGI and Southern Company are working together before we dig into, you know, the real nitty-gritty of some of the work that you have done with regard to AI.
So Southern Company always looks for, you know, collaborative partner, better standing folks that can journey the data analytics space and the AI space with us. So CGI started that a long time ago, and I'll let Doug kind of share the duration of that. But I got to know Doug when, you know, we were standing up the data lake house or the platform in even during my tenure in Southern Gas. Then, of course, you know, when I journeyed that through to the customer data lake house, Doug was there. And then today in power delivery lake house, Doug is here. So, you know, that journey kind of continued probably for the last, I want to say, 7-8 years. And we have been great partners and collaborators together in making the AI vision come to life for Southern.
Yeah, I mean, I share the excitement to talk about this topic because I feel like I've been very fortunate, right, to be in the same room as Joyce and now her team, right, to innovate. Because if you think about it, the first data lake house that we implemented about 7 or 8 years ago, that was not a very popular solution, if you will, right? Going to the cloud was still a lot of questions, a lot of doubts around that approach, right? So, and being able to be on this journey where we, you know, working as a, you know, side by side, right, as part of Joyce's team, as part of the Southern Company team, in a way that they see, right, that we are having the same purpose, delivering the same value, has been very, you know, rewarding, and looking forward to, you know, continue that journey.
Yeah, I love to hear it. It sounds like you guys have done some great projects together. We're going to talk about one of them today, and I want to move through some of the key elements of what I think we could call scaling AI in a way that, you know, really counts at a power org. You know, we're going to talk about goals and platform and culture and governance and real world use cases and all of that. But before we do that, I have a challenge for each of you as we set the scene. I would love if you could tell me maybe one challenge and one opportunity for power professionals exploring AI and attempt to do it in about a sentence.
So I think the challenge is adoption. Right, because adoption just not happen by a mandate, by, you know, getting some licenses to your preferred, you know, AI solution. It requires a cultural shift, right? A shift in a way that we do things to leverage AI as our assistant, right? Not seeing as a replacement.
Joyce, you want to go ahead with a challenge?
Yes, sure. I think for us, the challenge that we see is customer engagement and adoption and the trust that they have on AI as well. I think the opportunity here is actually to use the data to discover a lot of things that could help the customers benefit from it.
And Doug, do you have an opportunity you would want to share?
I think the opportunity, I think I touched on that a little bit. I think the opportunity is to leverage AI as your assistant, right? I know you might have a fear, right? Some of our, you know, coworkers or team members, they might have this fear of, you know, AI is going to replace me, right? Or AI is going to take over, especially when you start talking about agents, right? AI agents and the capability of AI agents. But our position, right, at CGI, I think that aligns with the responsible AI position at Southern Company, which is always, you know, human in the loop, right, to use AI as an assistant, right? So there's a huge opportunity there for us to leverage AI to make our work more effective, to be more productive. And that's really exciting, right? It's a very exciting time to be working with data, to be working on this area.
Absolutely. I love it. Okay, so now that we have that context, you sort of set the table here, I want to get a better understanding of some of the goals of this partnership. So Joyce, from the Southern Company perspective, can you tell me a little bit more about how this journey toward AI adoption with CGI began? You know, what problem were you trying to solve first?
Yeah, I think from our perspective, the journey began with a very practical problem, right? We had a lot of operational data, but insight wasn't reaching decision makers fast enough or in a consistent manner. There was too much of an effort that went into finding the data and reconciling the data instead of delivering the data in a way that would benefit them, right? So I think that's where the partnership started, because our leaders saw the benefit of bringing all of that data together to one-stop shop, having a single source of truth. And so, you know, as we were exploring, CGI came to the picture where they were able to help us journey that, bring the data together, build a platform, and then service the folks that needs to be serviced on making that kind of insights for decision making.
Really good to start there. And I think, Doug, it tees up a question I have for you about, you know, from the perspective of your team at CGI, how do you know that a company like Southern Company is really ready to make an attempt like this? Can you tell me a little bit more about, you know, some of the things that you might look for, the goals that you might have at the beginning of a relationship like this one?
Yes, absolutely. I think the clearest signal is when the conversation starts with business decision, right? Because sometimes some of our, customers and partners, they start the conversation with technology and tools, right? So for me, the biggest signal is when organizations, they're ready, right? They can name the priority they want to improve, right? Like they already have the data set, they already have the AI capabilities that they want to leverage, but not based on a tool set, right? But based on the business decision, right? Based on the business challenge they're facing. Also, most organizations, they are willing to sequence the investment, right, by value, right? What I mean by that is, instead of boiling the ocean, instead of building this huge, you know, platform or this huge use case that will take months and months, strong programs, they start with decision domains, if you will, right? They align the foundations to the priority and keep scaling from there.
Yeah. And I think that this idea of starting with the right building blocks and scaling from there is really, really important to start with in this conversation. So I want to get into this idea of, you know, what it takes to make that real attempt to build these platform basics. When we're thinking about what the implementation and the scaling of AI is across an org like Southern Company, based on the sort of problem set that Joyce laid out for us just a moment ago, what does building the platform actually mean when you guys are collaborating? You know, is it data modernization, cloud migration, governance, all of the above? You know, tell me a little bit more about some of these fundamentals that really, really mattered as you were getting started on this project.
I think for us in Southern Company, you know, it is all of the above. That's what I would say, because it's kind of getting the fundamental right together first so that, you know, it can then deem modernizing the data and then bringing AMI integration into that and then migrating it to the cloud for a one-stop solution. And then, of course, because AMI data is indeed sensitive data, then putting the governance around that so that we could grow with the grid and then embed the governance for day-to-day oversights. And then we can be able to defend the data that we provide to others, right? So I think for me, it's all of the above.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I think when we, you know, started, right, a few years ago, what it meant was building a full analytics platform, but with that vision, right, of scale in mind. And that included, right, secure data, right, and data accessibility, data governance, right? Fine-grained data governance at the row-level security or column-level security. And then a scalable way for us to ingest AMI data, right? Which, you know, needs to be near real-time, right? Like other time series data. So I think the stronger pattern, right, that we work with Southern Company was on this federated model, right, which is domain aligned, you know, lake houses, going back to what I mentioned before, instead of creating one huge enterprise platform, right, to break that down into domains. Of course, we still have a central governance layer, right, for access control, auditing, lineage, and data discovery, right, data cataloging, that's all, you know, included. But by starting like small, right, on this federated approach, the data foundation matter because without them, right, use cases would become custom projects, right? So with this data foundation in place, new use cases can move faster, right? Can take advantage of the architecture that is already there, the platform is already there. There is already an automated process to deploy, right, the artifacts. Data governance is in place. So, the teams can only focus on the use case, right? Just focus on the deliverable, because all of the automation and, you know, infrastructure was already taken care of. But that started at a smaller scale, right? And then expanded from there.
So, you know, I would be curious to hear too from the both of you about the sort of basics within the basics. You know, we're talking about this full analytics platform, this idea that there's a platform first approach to the work that you're doing. Can you tell me a little bit more about some of the nitty gritty of what this entailed? And Doug, you touched on some of it in your last answer there, but what exactly were the sort of core components of building this platform in those early days so that you could scale this work across the org and over the course of years?
Southern is a big user of Microsoft products. So for us, the cloud environment is built using Microsoft Azure. And then we do have Databricks that sits on top of that. And we fully integrate Databricks into our day-to-day operations. And why we like Databricks is because it gives us the flexibility to integrate with any of the solutions that Databricks supports. So it doesn't kind of bog us down to just one solution.
I think you described very well. And one of our early lessons learned, right, and for anyone listening that works, you know, with cloud-based systems or have your own platform on the cloud, right? Something that we learned very early was that automation is key, right? So, and here I'm talking about infrastructure as code. So when, you know, leveraging Azure, right, to build this data analytics platform, spending the time up front to automate the entire creation of the environment, it paid off long term, right? Because again, here we're talking about a federated approach. So it's not only one lake house, but it is many domain-based lake houses. But based on our standards, right, on Southern Company standards, they all look exactly the same. They have the same architecture. Well, since we spend the time, you know, up front to leverage, you know, infrastructure as code to create our environment, we could reuse that not only for different environments for the same lake house, right? In different environments here, I'm talking about development, staging, user acceptance, performance, and production environments, but also for other lake houses, for other domains, right? So that portion of the work was already done, if you will, right? Since we invested the time to automate everything from, you know, the start. And the same philosophy, the same design apply when we ingested the data into the lake house, right? So a very famous approach is the medallion architecture, where your data is curated at different layers, right? You have bronze, silver, and gold. At Southern Company, we use different names, right? But the approach is the same. We ingest the data and we curate this data as we bring into the lake house, right? But when I say curate the data, it's not only enriching the data, but also addressing data quality and data governance, right? So all of those automation, all the time, right, that we implemented on many elements to automate upfront, it paid off long term because now we are able to leverage that to innovate faster.
I see that's where the value proposition is, because it took us a little bit of a longer time in the front to identify what's the right step and how can we reuse all of that. But today, happy to say, with the identified steps and the process and the automation, Southern today have almost about 12 different lake houses that uses a single governance platform that we partnered with CGI to implement for.
Yeah, it sounds like so much of this really boils down to making the right decisions in the beginning and then scaling those decisions across the organization. I think it also leads us to an interesting part of the conversation. You know, Doug, you mentioned automation is key. A lot of times when teams hear the word automation, that might sort of trigger some warning lights in their mind. So I want to talk about some of the cultural shifts that you think are necessary to, you know, pull off a transformation like this and to scale it. Joyce, with your experience, I'm curious what you think about, you know, when people hear AI agents, I think often their mind kind of immediately jumps to the scary parts, like job displacement. How did you handle that concern internally at Southern Company? You know, how do you make sure that you sort of have those right assurances and the right messaging to really frame AI as a positive for the team instead of something to be afraid of?
Yes, you know, in all honesty, that concern is real. It's there even today, right? And it absolutely came up when we started around everything and anything that we can think of around AI. You know, the AI agent can sound like a replacement if you don't frame the communication or the training carefully, right? So we were very intentional about positioning AI as an assistant that reduces burden, not to remove any kind of roles, right? For example, an analyst who becomes the, you know, forefront of you know, processing tons of documents in a week to, you know, to look at contracts. We have positioned AI in the forefront so that AI can actually figure out, you know, if the contract follows the right policy, procedures, our step-by-step things before it can actually spit out that information to the analyst so that they know targeted area where they can go process that contract, right? So it is all about the messaging that you give them. You know, you have to give them the confidence that the AI agent is there to help them, to make them more quicker, to accelerate them, but not to replace them.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I think the message, right, has to be that AI can help people to prioritize faster, right, to see patterns sooner, to spend more time on decisions that require expertise, right? And it should reduce friction, right? Not accountability. So I think the Southern Company's public framework that is posted, right, on the Southern Company site is very clear, which is using trusted data and ethical AI, right, to improve reliability and resilience. And that aligns with CGI's principle, right, through responsible AI, privacy, governance, and human-centered design, right? Which always has a human in the loop.
Yeah. I think this also brings us to an interesting part of the cultural needs at an org trying to really implement AI in a meaningful way. It's not just trusting that AI can be assistant instead of replacement. It's also understanding how AI can expedite that work cross-functionally from team to team, across teams, across borders. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about what that looked like. You know, how do you ensure that structure that helps to really enable those more cross-functional kinds of AI projects across teams, like, you know, IT, operations, analytics, the business side? How did you ensure that AI could really be the accelerant there instead of the blocker?
Yeah, I think for Southern, we aligned the DO organization, the operations, the analytics, and the business team by anchoring everything to shared outcomes, not tools, right? So there's clear ownership, common priorities, and agreed guardrails allowed each group to contribute their expertise without working in isolation. That cross-functional structure was very critical for us, because AI only works when technology, data, and operations comes together, right? Without that, it almost seems not worthwhile to invest in AI. So that was definitely a success story for Southern Company.
Doug, anything you would add to that in terms of ensuring that teams can work cohesively together?
No, I think the same applies for us, right? What Joyce mentioned, which is we have, you know, our teams, right? We support different projects and different initiatives, you know, on the business side and on the technology, on the IT side, right, at Southern Company. So for us, it was very important that we were, you know, following the standards and guidelines and principles and regulations, from the IT side, while making sure that we're being agile and delivering value to the business, right? So that collaboration between teams, right, and being part of that, you know, of both teams, right? I think that was key for success.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. You know, at the really heart of all of this is this idea that you're trying to modernize data to make it actually usable, right? To make it usable in new and more impressive and more scalable ways. I think there's a question in there about the data itself, and specifically with regard to governance. You know, the utilities, pretty conservative by nature. So Doug, I would love to hear how you designed governance and you know, governance goals and programs that protected data but still allowed for some of this experimentation, some of this cross-functionality that we've been talking about. What was that experience like?
Oh, that's everyone's favorite topic, right? Data governance. So we treated governance, and, you know, again, that aligns with Southern Company's vision, where we treated governance as an enabler, right? Not a breaker, right? A break on speed. So for us, right, good governance meant that people can trust the data, right? That they can access the data that they are allowed to and know where that data came from. So as Joyce mentioned, right, we leverage, Databricks, and Databricks has a product called Unity Catalog, which is not only a catalog, but enable us to increase or the trust of the data by exposing to the users, right, a data lineage and a data catalog and a glossary, right? So the business would know where the data came from, what is the rules behind the specific field or metric, right? And also enable on the adoption, right? Enable on the data discovery. So there is a catalog at the enterprise level where everyone can go and look what data is available. And if they don't have access, they can ask for that, you know, for access to that data owner, right? And the data owner will decide if that person really needs access to the data or not, right? But it is like you think about an onion, right? It is layers of security that you have to go through in order to access the data, right? First is, do you have access to the platform, right? So second is, do you have access to the actual, you know, data set? And as you have access to the data set, what are the rows and columns that you can see on that data set? Here we are talking about a very granular level of security, which is row level security and column level security. So that's all available, you know, as part of the governance program, as part of the data access, portion of this strategy, if you will.
Joyce, anything you would want to add to that, or you feel like we covered it?
I definitely echo what Doug says, but I also want to bring a different perspective into this because, you know, I handle AMI data day in, day out, and I own AMI data. Now, how do you put governance around the sensitive data? That was such a big challenge when we started looking at how to govern our data, right? Because people come to us and say, oh, now you don't want to share your data. You're going to put gates around your data. And here we were trying to educate them, message that, to them that we're designing this governance as guardrails, and we're going to enable them to use our data. And we are here alongside with them on this journey of learning our data, because as an organization, we're here to protect sensitive data so that it is used in the right way, right? So I wouldn't say it happened overnight. It's not like a flip of a button. You know, this governance for AMI started maybe about 2 years ago when I came into this role, and we're still progressing. It's almost like a crawl, walk, and run, right? You cannot run immediately, what the message was is we're telling them we're definitely going to give you the data, but we're going to hold your hands so that you can learn using our data in the right way as well. That had worked very well for us in the AMI space.
Yeah, it's an interesting point that you bring up, Joyce, about the way that this scales. This is not just, you know, you snap your fingers or you flip a switch and suddenly everything works the way that you wanted it to at the beginning. It takes time. You have to walk before you run. So as we're talking now about really how all of this turned out, how all of this work came to fruition at Southern Company, I want to hear about this sort of popcorn style adoption story. I would love to hear a little bit more about what it means for this type of project when something sort of pops in the first place. You know, what's the first use case that really clearly worked that led to the sort of domino effect of other use cases happening across the organization?
Right, absolutely. I think the first pop was the charge that was given to me 2.5 years ago. And it was like, here's the magnitude of AMI data. What would the first AI use case be? Go build that use case out and let's see whether that works. And the first one, if you know, with the grid was, you know, using the art of possible of data science to see if a meter is connected to the right transformer so that the load aggregation up and disaggregation down is correctly aligned, right? So we used the first use case and it was very successful for us. We were able to use the art of data science where automation went in to correct meters that are on the wrong transformers. So, you know, that project became very popular among the distribution planning folks here. And immediately we knew that AMI data had so much of value behind this. Using that, as you said, the first popcorn as our base, we were able to do EV detection using just AMI data. Not only the detection, but the charging behavior at residential home, because that charging helps us study whether customers are charging during the peak hours or non-peak hours, and how do you educate customers. And then, you know, it started just snowballing. More and more popcorn came out of it, right? Today, we have use cases around HVAC identification and inefficient HVAC just using AMI data. We've gone to do solar detection. So, you know, there's so much more that got popped just with that one use case and the power of AMI data. So for the role that I play today, just enabling the data to become more valuable with all this insights that's coming is just very edifying, in all honesty.
I can imagine. Doug, do you have something you want to add?
Yeah, yeah. When you were talking about insights flowing from 4.6 million meters, right? Some of them send data every 15 minutes. The leadership team understand that this is not a niche experiment, right? This is not a POC. So in bringing back full circle, right? So that platform, right, the data analytics platform allows, right, more than one problem to be solved on the same foundation, right? So it is, you know, cloud-based, it is scalable. So instead of funding, right, is isolated, analytics, you know, efforts over and over, and even sometimes copying the data, right? And so you create this platform that supports different use cases. And the teams are able to innovate faster, right? Because again, they're using the same data. Another concept that, you know, we work together since the beginning of this initiative was around data products, right? To start thinking of our data a little bit different, right? Instead of putting data sets together that belong to the same subject area, if you will, let's think about our data as a product, right? So if I have a AMI data product, what are all of the features for this product, right, that I want to make it available not only for my team, but also for any other consumers of the data, right? Think, and as part of that, also, you know, a data contract. If you're consuming this data, here's the contract that shows the frequency this data is, you know, available to you. And the quality, right, of this data, because, you know, sometimes you might have some gaps, you know, between the meter reads. So this concept of a data product enable us to not only make this data available for, you know, consumers in an easier way, but also enable us with a more effective governance, right? Because now I have a product, I have the AMI data product for a specific operating company. I can apply data access governance and policies on top of that specific data product, right? Instead of trying to figure out how am I going to secure the data for one specific operating company, right? So this approach enables us to scale as well on the data governance side.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea, Doug. And I think it brings me to the kind of biggest picture question of this entire conversation, which is how you see the implementation of technology and data systems and data products like the ones that we're talking about today changing the game at the highest level for utilities. You know, what's really at stake when we're talking about scaling this kind of tech? How could this industry look different if this were scaled across the board?
I think the biggest change is that data is not treated, right, as a byproduct of operations, right? Because if you think about it, every single organization, they have data, right? But now, especially for utilities, right, it is strategic for their, you know, for the infrastructure, right? So that data, it will not only enable teams to collaborate, you know, quickly and from raw ideas to become, you know, to deliver real value, but enable action, right? Joyce has, you know, mentioned some examples here of some great use cases that she implemented based on this data, but it was all towards, you know, enabling action based on the insights her team was, you know, delivering using AI. And I think this is only going to get, you know, more as models, right, become more and more efficient and compute is, you know, more and more, you know, available at our fingertips. That will only improve, right? What we can do with the data that we currently have, it will only improve our capability, right? To go from observing to actually, you know, taking action based on insights out of, you know, the data set that we have.
And probably I want to add a different look on that as well is, I think today, you know, us being utility, we have great partnership with other utilities, right? And so we benchmark each other pretty frequent. And then, you know, we create a consortium where we share lesson learns and things like that. So there is some talks around not sharing the data, but sharing the insights or even sharing the model, getting templatized in the AI space so that, you know, we can share it across utility. I mean, think about how powerful that is, right? Because you want to scale one on top of another. You want to build solution quickly. But then if you're far ahead in the journey of a program, a product, or a use case, why not help the others, right? I mean, that's the entirety of AI and being, you know, a good partner and collaborating it, not just inside our organization, but I think with other utilities, even, you know, we were looking at oil and gas as well. So I think the sky is the limit.
A rising tide, right?
That's a great point. I just would like to add that, you know, we don't have to live right on the bleeding edge, because I don't know about you guys, but for me, it's very hard to follow the new features, right? The announcements from that emerge, right? Almost, it feels like almost on a daily basis, right? There is a new model that does more, but, and you know, can be overwhelming. So, one approach that we work right with organizations like Southern Company, many of our clients, is to focus on the outcomes, right, and return on what we are investing, right, and apply the technology at the pace that fits that challenge, right, because you know tomorrow a new model will come out, right, that we might be able to use for that specific task, but focusing on the you know on the outcome, on the mission. Right. And learning from each other, as Joyce just mentioned, is, you know, is one way that we found to just keep moving forward. Right. Keep innovating faster.
If that's not a plug to send this episode to your utility friends, I don't know what is. Yeah. What's good for one of us is good for all of us. And it's been really, really wonderful and insightful and super interesting to hear about how this has all happened at Southern Company with the help of CGI. I want to now transition into our lightning round. This is our quick rapid fire section to close out our episodes with a little bit of fun. So I'm going to pose you each three questions. I would appreciate if you could keep your answers to about one sentence, one word, if you can, why not? So my first question for you here, is there a way that you have embraced AI outside of your professional life? Are you using AI at all in your personal, you know, use cases?
Yes. For me, it's all about baking. So I love to look at AI to help me to do, you know, baking much more quick and faster.
That's fun. Love it. Doug, what about you?
For me is my, I have prescription, you know, glasses, and I got the new Ray-Ban Meta AI glasses, and I love them. I have conversations with it, which drives my wife crazy, but it's my new companion. It's my new AI companion. So I love it.
Awesome. They sound very cool, and they look very cool too. Okay, my next question. What is your favorite part about your job?
For me is data, AI, and innovation.
Wow, it's very hard to follow that because that's my favorite as well. I will go with, you know, like delivering value, right? And working with champions in the business, like, you know, Joyce, to drive adoption and innovation, right? So that's definitely a huge sense of accomplishment, right? When we deliver a successful project.
Wonderful. And my final question, what do you feel most excited about in the energy sector over the next, let's call it, 5 or so years? What's got you feeling pretty optimistic?
I think using AI to help with our large load customers that's coming on board, you know, grid resiliency and how we can enhance and keep going with customer satisfaction.
Yeah, I'll say it is the same, you know, for me, right? It is not only, you know, let's go and do AI, but how do we create like this trusted, you know, data foundation, right? That people across the business, they can go and use, right? To deliver AI, you know, solutions. So yes, that's very exciting times, you know, to be work with data, very exciting times to be work with AI, because things are moving very fast. And I think we're just in the beginning, right? So we're going to be able to drive a lot of value using those technologies out there.
Absolutely. Still day one. We love that feeling. Doug, Joyce, thank you so, so much for joining me today on Power Perspectives and sharing more about the incredible work that you have accomplished together. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you for having us. Yes, this was awesome and fun.
Yep, likewise. Thank you.
I'm glad to hear it. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, it is brought to you by our friends and partners at CGI. CGI is among the largest IT and business consulting services firms in the world. CGI is insights-driven and outcomes-based to help accelerate return on investments. If you want to learn more, head to the show notes to get to know the awesome team at CGI even better. Thank you once again for listening to this week's episode of Power Perspectives. I'm Kinsey Graham-Baker, and I'll see you next time.